How do you honor God? By doing everything to the glory of God. Not just not sinning, not just, okay, you don't steal from people, but by making good shoes.
If we're going to talk about you were a new creation, that means everything has to change.
Why does God not just, you know, bring people to heaven immediately after being saved? It's because there's stuff to do here. There's a point to all of this. And if we're Christians, we do it better, or at least in theory.
But if we really apply the standard that's set in Scripture, then we know that no one is good because no one is God.
We serve a storyteller. We serve a God who has a perfect plan, a sovereign will for every moment of history.
It's not about going into the world to make artists. It's about going into the world to make disciples.
Hey, hey, we are here. This is the Christian Artist, honoring Christ through creativity. My name is Caleb.
My name is Connor.
And I'm Carly.
And we are here for another episode, what, like 2 months after?
Finn.
Oh, yeah, there's Finn. Baby's first stream. Yeah, it is the Powers Podcast, Chad. Indeed, as he says in chat. Even if we had, I think last time we did an episode, it was Mickey also was on. So yeah, it was definitely really the Powers Podcast at that point. For sure. But yeah, so it's been like 2 months since we did our last episode, and before that, it was like a year. But we're back, you know. I just realized that we need to really just like actually plan when we're gonna actually do these episodes, and I was like, I need to just ask about it again. And Connor's like, why don't we do one tonight? And I was like, sounds great. So Connor, what are we gonna talk about today?
We're gonna talk about the fact that Elon Musk just bought Twitter for $44 billion.
sure okay, cool.
I'm looking at the New York Times article about it, and I thought that we should read it and we should talk about it.
Sounds good. Pull it up. New York Times.
So essentially, this has been kind of in the workings for a while now, as Elon Musk has slowly started buying stocks in Twitter, and then found himself as the person with the most stocks, and then
shares,
decided most shares, and decided to try to convince Twitter to sell out to him. And lo and behold, they did. Like
I was
liberal cowards that they are.
Yeah, I was very surprised. Like it wasn't surprising to me that Elon would like offer it. that's not surprising to me at all. What was surprising is that they actually accepted. Like that's insane. Yeah.
We have learned that Twitter is just a bunch of sellouts. And
I guess who knows.
I could think of any
number of reasons why they would actually decide to go for it. But yeah, one of them could be like, wow, we just want a lot of money. We don't actually care. Yeah.
Considering how anti-Elon Musk they have been, and just like anti-Republican, anti-capitalist that they have been for a very long time, anti-free speech, and Elon Musk comes and says, hey, I want to give free speech to Twitter. I feel like it has to be some level of selling out. They just had a price tag that was big enough, because either that or they didn't believe the liberal religion that they were espousing and making rules about, which is also a genuine possibility.
Chad, quick question. So Chad's in chat here giving some explanations here. Chad, it was the board of Twitter that decides whether or not they what was going on there? Because so he said in chat, the board of Twitter had a fiduciary duty to sell. If they didn't sell, the shareholders could sue for so much.
Really?
So
from
what he's, and I trust Chad with this, he's very involved in all that stuff. He likes talking about it. It seems like the Twitter board, the board of trustees or whatever, board of directors, he says, yes, the board decides whether to take that deal or not. So basically it's saying, like, the shareholders. So my question is, and maybe you can answer this, Chad, wouldn't there be shareholders who, like, wouldn't want to sell because they don't want Elon to be in control of Twitter? Like, what would happen if, like, a shareholder's like, no, we don't want it? Like, what's the actual way that relationship works there? Because that was what Connor was saying, and what I was assuming too, is just like, okay, yeah, most shareholders just own the shares to make money. So it's like the entire point of it is just to make money. And so if this guy is just gonna, like, yeah, so they don't care about Twitter itself in general. So that makes sense.
So this isn't the people that have been making the rules
or
whatever.
No. Okay. It's just the people who have shares in Twitter, who are trying to make money. So the board has a duty to the shareholders to give them their money.
Yeah.
That's actually really crazy, though. I'm curious what Elon is going to do with the shares at this point. Like,
oh, for sure.
Is he literally just going to keep them all? Like, that's kind of crazy.
I certainly hope so.
There's some weird stuff going on.
I mean, he doesn't need to sell.
I wouldn't think so. Unless he wants to make money, I guess, but he doesn't need money, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So then why buy it in the first place if you're just trying to make money?
Right. I can tell that Elon's not trying to make money per se.
Right.
Chad said it'll no longer be listed on the public market because he'll own them all. Like, it will be impossible, at least right now, for people to buy stock in Twitter.
That is insanity.
That's really crazy.
So let's read how the New York Times has presented this to us. I haven't read through this one yet, but I was reading NPR talk about it, which I realized was a local Wisconsin thing. Let's read New York Times, see what they had to say about it. NPR was basically treating Elon Musk and this whole Twitter thing like they did with Trump. Nope. Whereas, like, even if they agreed with it, even if it's like a good thing, they find something to report negatively about it. And it was so interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming New York Times will do the same thing. Okay, so it says, Elon Musk struck a deal on Monday, which is today, to buy Twitter for roughly $44 billion in a victory by the world's richest man to take over the influential social network frequented by world leaders, celebrities, and cultural trendsetters. Twitter agreed to sell itself to Mr. Musk for $54.20 a share, a 38% premium over the company's share price this month before he revealed he was the firm's single largest shareholder. It would be the largest deal to take a company private, something Mr. Musk has said he will do with Twitter in at least two decades, according to data compiled by Dealogic, or maybe Dealogic. Free speech. This is a quote from Elon Musk. Said, free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. Twitter has a tremendous potential. I look forward to working with the company and the community of users to unlock it. So that's his quote about it. So he's basically saying, I'm done with the censoring. Like, we're not going to censor stuff on here. This is going to be about free speech. So the article goes on to say, the deal, which has been unanimously approved by Twitter's board, is expected to close this year, subject to a vote of Twitter shareholders and certain regulatory approvals. The blockbuster agreement caps that had seemed an improbable attempt by the famously mercurial Mr. Musk, 50, to buy the social media company, and immediately raises questions about what he will do with the platform and how his actions will affect online speech globally. So this is just going to be fascinating. And a little background to the situation is there have been so many people that have said, if Elon Musk buys Twitter, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be the new, if Trump gets elected president, I'm moving to Canada. Because I don't think anybody's going to really leave Twitter. Yeah. No, I think it's going to stay the same.
Because I don't think anyone did when Trump got elected, right?
No, not that I can think of. I knew a guy that said that and then instead went to prison. So. So it says the billionaire who has more than 83 million followers on Twitter and has romped across the service hurling gibes and memes has repeatedly said he wants jibes.
That's how it's spelled.
Thank you. Jibes and memes has repeatedly said he wants to transform the platform by promoting more free speech. they just compared jibes and memes, hurling jibes. They just compared hurling jibes to free speech. And they just painted free speech in a negative light.
Yeah.
In that sentence, they said,
because at this point, they did have the power. And so free speech is bad now. Like, whereas you know, 20 years ago, it was good because they were the ones being censored. So, you know.
Yep. And now free speech is bad. That's literally what they just said.
Yeah.
Wow. Or I should say implied. So it's repeatedly said he wants to transform the platform by promoting more free speech and giving users more control over what they see on it. That's so interesting. By taking the company private, Mr. Musk could work on the service out of sight of the prying eyes of investors, regulators, and others. So he's gonna be doing things privately. So it's gonna be secretive. So what's gonna happen in the dark? Yet scrutiny will likely be intense. Twitter is not the biggest social platform. It has more than 217 million daily users compared with billions for Facebook and Instagram, but it has an outsized role in shaping narratives around the world. Political leaders have used it as a megaphone, while companies, celebrities, and others have employed it for image making and brand building. In recent years, Twitter has also become a lightning rod for controversy as some users spread misinformation and other toxic content on the service. Former President Donald J. Trump, that's so interesting. Frequently turned to Twitter to insult and inflame before getting barred from the platform. I wonder if they had reported on Obama, I wonder if they say former president or if they say president.
Do. Yeah, I think they do.
Do you think they do? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's typically the title that is given.
Okay. Former President Donald J. Trump frequently turned to Twitter to insult and inflame before getting barred from the platform after the January 6 riot. The January 6 riot at the Capitol last year. The company has repeatedly been forced to create policies on the fly to deal with unexpected situations. At least they're calling it a riot and not an uprising. Because that's how it was.
Insurrection.
Yeah. At least
so I did the funny thing yesterday, not yesterday, but a couple days ago, of going to the Wikipedia, Donald Trump's Wikipedia entry. And it was just so amusing. Like how something like Wikipedia is just not neutral at all, right? The entire thing is just filled with pejoratives. Yeah. Towards this man. So funny. So amusing. Because they got the
it
power.
Says the company. Yep. When it says here, the company has repeatedly been forced to create policies on the fly to deal with unexpected situations. So that's an interesting save for Twitter there for them barring Trump. It's like they created policies on the fly to deal with unexpected situations. Like, what would you do in that circumstance? In a statement, Brett Taylor, Twitter's chairman, said the board had conducted a thoughtful and comprehensive process to assess Elon's proposal with a deliberate focus on value, certainty, and financing. The proposed transaction will deliver a substantial cash premium, and we believe it is the best path forward for Twitter's stockholders. Okay, yeah, so it is just about the stockholders.
Yeah.
Mr. Musk himself has had a rocky relationship with online speech. This year, he tried to squash a Twitter account that tracked the movements of his private jet, citing personal and safety reasons. On Monday, he tweeted that he hoped his worst critics would remain on Twitter because that is what free speech means. That is such a based thing to say. Mm-hmm. Is he bought up Twitter and said, I hope the critics stay because that's what free speech means.
I saw that tweet this morning.
Yep.
That's really exciting.
Also, are people mad at him for not wanting someone to reveal where his private jet goes. That is an invasion of privacy.
And I'm sure he has legal precedent to do that. Whereas banning Trump from Twitter for how they phrase it, inciting violence, I don't think there's legal precedent for that, but I would be curious to see if they did use some sort of legal precedent for it.
Yeah.
So it goes on to say, without any conditions for Musk to purchase Twitter, the platform's community standards and recourse to ban users who violate those standards, Twitter could set a dangerous precedent for other social media companies to follow. And this was Bridget Todd, director at Ultraviolet, a women's right organization. This is a massively slippery slope, he says.
Oh, so now we can make slippery slope arguments. I see.
Yep. Beyond speech issues, and this is just New York Times, beyond speech issues, Twitter faces questions about its business For years, the company has struggled to gain new users and to keep people coming back to the service. Its advertising business, which is the main way Twitter makes revenue, has been inconsistent. Twitter has not turned a profit for 8 of the last 10 years. Oh, that's interesting. I had no idea. It looks like that's the end of that. Maybe it's not. Okay, so what do you guys think?
I think I've already said some of it, but I think we need to be careful in some sense because Elon Musk is not a Christian. He actually has several beliefs about government and things that I just think are very bad. Best on privacy. Even though he's saying all this stuff about free speech, he's the guy who wants to like make sure everyone has a microchip in their head and all that stuff. He said stuff like that. Or like he obviously doesn't he's a businessman, and so he's like this idealistic fighter for, you know, American freedoms per se. He's just a businessman. And
oh, not at all.
And
yeah,
good businessmen often have a lot of American rights. Hold them in very high esteem because it helps them make more money. So there's that, right?
Exactly.
But hopefully this is a major step up. He has
made enough money that doesn't care. For sure.
This is a major step up from what Twitter was. So I'm looking forward to what Twitter's going to be like in the coming years. It seems like he like genuinely just wants to make Twitter a better platform. Which maybe means we'll finally get an edit button. You know, that's what I'm crossing my fingers. I'm excited to not have constant like weird shadow ban algorithms or trending topics that aren't really trending and people being taken off of Twitter because they don't agree with liberal politics. I'm excited for all those things to change because it seems like they will. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see if he releases Trump from the ban.
Oh yeah.
And I'm very curious to see.
That's the move here.
I totally imagine he will.
All the people from Gab will come back to Twitter. Right? All the people who like not that there's like a whole bunch of people there, but like all the Trump people, you know, are on Gab now, or whatever Trump's weird social media thing he tried to create was. But I imagine there'll be a
Trump didn't try to create Gab. That was Christians.
No. There was a different social media platform that he tried to create.
Oh, the different social media one that Trump tried to create.
I don't even know what happened to that one, but I haven't heard anything about it.
I've never even heard the name of it,
but I imagine there'll be a return. Whether or not Trump himself will want to return is something to be decided because I could see him being the kind of person who's just like, you know, it's not anything against Elon, but I want to create my own thing. But I would definitely see Elon saying, Trump, you can come back if you want. So, because I mean, that would drive more traffic to his platform. Because, yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't think there's going to be a giant liberal exodus from Twitter because people use Twitter too much. It's literally the same sort of thing. So when you know, the conservatives are being censored left and right or whatever, they didn't actually leave Twitter to go to Gab. They got Gab accounts and stayed on Twitter. Right?
Yeah.
So everyone knows that Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and whatever else, those are the places that everyone stays. Like, you don't actually ever leave those places unless you're just getting off social media entirely, but that's different, right? You can't, there is no alternative platform right now that has come close to rivaling the power of something like Twitter or YouTube, for their respective fields and what they do well. So this is, I think, a good thing for Twitter, for people who like Twitter and the type of social media it represents, because we'll get a better, fairer version of it. I will be very curious to see in the short, long term, you know, in the medium term here in the next couple of years, what Twitter's place is amongst what used to be the big, like, liberal media platforms on the internet, because Twitter is no longer that anymore, right? Like, it can't be, because people who are on the left won't let it be, right? As soon as Elon Musk buys Twitter, it's like, it becomes the bad thing.
Yeah.
But I don't see a world in which people just migrate from Twitter, right? I think Elon Musk is going to make it better, and people are going to begrudgingly stay there, even if they disagree with him, because it will be better.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They'll probably complain a lot, but that'll probably be it. same thing, same way conservatives did it, right? They just complain a lot on Twitter, and they didn't leave.
Yep.
It's just how these things work.
So the other interesting thing on here about Trump is under the header, what would it mean if Trump returned to Twitter? This is very interesting what they write here. He said, Elon Musk's impending purchase of Twitter, should his takeover go through as planned, could have a seismic effect on American politics over the long term. There's only one way in which the Tesla mogul...
Mogul
could have an immediate impact by bringing back Donald J. Trump. His return could cut both ways. Blake Hounshell, a New York Times on politics reporter, writes, though people who have been recipients of the former president's Twitter attacks would prefer to stay off the platform, voters have consistently told pollsters they disapprove of Mr. Trump's tweets, so its presence could also rebound to the benefit of Democrats who are in desperate political need of a villain.
Oh, yeah.
That's what the New York Times wrote.
Yeah.
They are recognizing Democrats are in need of a villain.
Yeah, because they haven't had one since. Well, I mean, maybe Ron DeSantis is the closest they have right now. The governor of Florida. Mm-hmm. That's probably the closest, but he's not big enough.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it only really matters in Florida. Mm-hmm. So, I think Elon Musk will become the next... big bad guy.
Trump coming back on Twitter would
right. I don't think Trump is gonna be the big bad guy again in the same way. I think Elon Musk is going to be the big bad guy for allowing Trump, but Elon Musk is gonna be the guy now, because I think everyone realized I don't see a future where our corrupt politics lets Trump be president again. They made it very clear when they outrageously and egregiously cheated. You know, who cares if this gets taken off YouTube or whatever else? I don't care. People like,
oh, we're not big enough to
that's probably true, but people literally admitted after the fact that that's what they did.
I believe the New York Times did as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. They just, yeah. But the thing is, like, we've moved on from it, so it doesn't matter, right? But they got away with it.
If Trump tries to come back, they'll just say, we already cheated once, we'll just cheat again.
Exactly.
Like, And so nobody did anything last time. So why would anybody do anything this time?
I think
time?
Elon Musk is going to be the bad guy now because he actually has money that he can throw around to get
he's
things done in a non-political way. Right.
Yeah.
But that is, I think in some cases, even an even bigger threat to them. Because
he has more money than them.
Because of money. Well, like literally because of money.
Yeah.
Right. Because rich people are the devil, you know? So,
and the other interesting thing is this is the New York Times, and it's like they're being transparent with the strategy. You know what I mean? They're this is our strategy. We need a villain.
The strategy is far enough along that none of the conservatives care, right? Either they're already like they already knew that this was happening, but they don't have enough clout, or they're in the vocal minority, or they're in the majority who are like the centrist conservatives who don't actually fight. And so,
no, I mean, I'm thinking of the Democrats reading this and being such a sheep that they have no idea that they're just saying this is a part of our psychological strategy and we need a villain. And the Democrats are like, you're right, we do need a villain. We do need a villain for the other Democrats besides me to be more fired up about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we can become communists.
Yeah.
Like that's like people read this and don't think twice about the programming that they have.
Yeah.
And that said, also, Mr. Trump told Fox News on Monday that he would not return to Twitter. But Truth Social, his own Twitter-like platform, has struggled to gain traction since its introduction this year, and an overhaul of Twitter's speech policies could undermine the new site's positioning as a haven for persecuted conservatives.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Carly, what are your thoughts? If you can, if the baby isn't crying.
He is. I don't know if I have that many thoughts.
Finn is upset about this situation. Let's just say that.
Very.
We'll work on him.
So here's my big thing I think we should talk about is if we're all excited about Elon Musk buying Twitter, which I think we should be to a point,
what is free speech? Yeah. What is free speech?
What is free speech really? Like let's discuss that. Like what's the point of free speech? What is free speech? Should people like Trump who let's say he had actually incited violence. Let's say he had used his political clout to say, "Hey, let's go storm the Capitol and like beat people up and like burn things and like break in." And like all these things, if he had like given specific details that it could be proven without a doubt that he actually meant to incite violence, because right now we have reasonable doubt that he had no intention of doing so, which means you let an innocent person go or you let a guilty person go because there's reasonable doubt. That's better than condemning an innocent person.
Yep.
So let's give the liberals the benefit of the doubt and say he did mean this and we can prove it. Should he have been removed from Twitter?
Should he have been removed from Twitter? Oh, for doing that?
Yeah, for like legitimately inciting violence.
I don't. Good question.
Like what? So what is free speech?
So this is one thing to keep in mind. The conversation around Twitter and free speech comes down to, is Twitter a public platform or a private platform?
Yeah.
And in most situations, I would say a website like Twitter has the right to do whatever they want on their own platform. But the current issue as it stands is that, and I can't remember the specifics about why this was the case, but Twitter and other social media platforms like Facebook and other things like that, they have like a special deal with the government. These companies, these corporations do, that allows them to basically gain benefits under the law that classifies them in such a way that they are supposed to function as public entities, as public platforms, right? Where like something like that does mean you take someone off Twitter because the government itself has says like this is illegal to do, right? According to this law, whatever, you know, this stuff going on there. And that's the issue ultimately with specifically it's mainly an issue with when Twitter decides to play politics, right? When it decides to get rid of people because they don't like their politics, is because they're actually being illegal. They're going against what their corporation is as a legal entity, like in relation to the government and other social media platforms. Like I don't remember all the specific details, but suffice to say, Twitter is legally functions, at least it did. I don't know if this changed anything. Legally functions like a public platform in which you can't get rid of people just because they disagree with you politically. That it's actually legal to do so. Now, whether or not, I don't think any corporation should have that sort of relationship with the government. I think it would be way easier if everyone's just on an equal playing field. Because the main reason that's an issue is that Twitter is actually, in other places like that, are so successful because they are in bed with the government. They get special privileges that allow them to continue being almost a monopoly. Like it's not quite a monopoly. I can't remember there's like some other word that means like taking a broad amount of the space, but not actually monopolizing it. But they have legal protections so that is the case. Whereas if they didn't have those legal protections, some other social media platform could have come along by now and supplanted Twitter, or, you know, whatever. So that muddies the waters with this sort of situation, right? Free speech is good and important, and we need it. Whether or not Twitter, because of its particular legal standing, actually has that right, or like can do one thing or the other thing on their platform, is sort of a little bit more confusing. But all of that being said, in my perfect world, every corporation would be able to, you know, every company who has their own social media platform, whatever, whoever owns a website, anything they want can go on that website, you know, if that's under free speech, you know, and that's okay. And you don't get legally prosecuted, and you can kick people off your website if you want, you can keep people on your website if you want, and there's no legal action against you either way. That's not currently the situation with most of these websites in the legal eye, but it should be that way. It's just a little muddy because it currently isn't that way. That's not actually how these websites are functioning.
Right.
But yes, in theory, this is good. The fact that Twitter will, in theory, be more open to not be playing politics is good. Mm-hmm. I need to look up again specifically what is actually going on, because even as I was talking, I know I was missing details about why exactly Twitter is the way that it is and other, like, the difference between, I think there was the difference between a publisher and a platform are the two legal distinctions. Where like a pub, or maybe maybe it's different terms. I'm definitely butchering this, and someone else can probably come along in the comments and correct me on this. But I know there's two different categories. One is like, we let anyone they want put stuff on here, but we're not legally like bound by what they say. And there's another one, which is we're a publisher, which is like everything that comes on here is from us. Like that's what it legally means. And I think Twitter is that one because of the legal situation. I can't remember.
I have no idea.
Yeah. I know all that was really meant to point out is that all of this stuff that's going on with Twitter and free speech and stuff before this point was a little legally muddy. And so it's not as simple as Twitter can do whatever it wants on its own platform. There were actually legal things that it was breaking that meant that it shouldn't have been doing those things. Now, again, I think Twitter should be able to do those things if it wasn't getting these special privileges from the government, but it is. We'll see if that changes with Elon in charge. I don't know exactly all the details of that. or what he might be changing. I don't know if it's even as simple as now that it's no longer a publicly traded company. So it's like, I think that changes things. I think that might actually be the case. Chad could probably tell me more about that. But either way, Twitter is changing. And I think it will be for the better. And I think we'll be moving in the right direction here in terms of Twitter will become more of a platform where Twitter is not going to be legally bound by whatever its users put on there. And so more people who can say whatever they want. But that also means that if Elon did decide he wants to kick people off of Twitter, I would actually be more okay with it in given what I know he's probably going to try to do. That could change. He could become Twitter in all of its horridness,
right?
Become what they currently are. But I think,
right. But even, just for the other side, or even just
exactly.
Neither side.
I'm not terribly worried if he starts changing things on Twitter and decides to kick off some people because he wants to. I think, given who I know him to be, that probably won't be as much of an issue as it was when Twitter was doing it, is my main point, I think, here. I don't think he will, like, because he's already made clear on his Twitter, like, I hope my critics stay here. So it sounds like he's just going to let everybody do whatever they want to do. But we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Free speech as an entity is good. We should have it. I don't think websites should be legally bound by something that someone says. And I don't think, for the most part, I don't think anything that anyone says should be prosecuted by the government anyway. And again, I am not the most knowledgeable about the stuff. I remember whenever I read the article that gave me this information about what the differences are there with Twitter, I probably had that way more fresh in my mind and was able to keep those distinctions more clear in my mind and know what I was talking about. But I think enough time has passed that I was probably muddy on that in my explanation. So I apologize if I got some details wrong there. What about you, Connor? What's free speech in this situation to you?
I think I agree. I think it just depends on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I think in general, we need to understand that people running around using racial slurs shouldn't be in prison.
Yep.
Like, that's not a crime. Mm-hmm. And that's what free speech means. And so I could tell somebody I hate you, whatever, and that's not a crime. Is it sinful? Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It can definitely be sinful to be racist or whatever. Not necessarily saying that a racial slur being a certain word is necessarily racist. I think there's room for debate about that, but
yeah,
like, those things are sinful, but they're not crimes. And so somebody being banned from a social media platform on the basis of it's a crime to do this thing, like, it's wrong to allow people to say things that they believe or they have the opinion of, that is how we will turn into a communist society, is by destroying free speech. And as we can see, the New York Times has basically implied that free speech is now a bad thing. And we think that we should control what people are allowed to say and not say. And that's a very dangerous place to be. So I think it's important to keep that in mind, is like, what actually is free speech? And if Elon Musk actually wants to make Twitter a free place to bring whatever opinions they have and say whatever they want to say, well, then that's something he can do, because now he owns a private business. Mm-hmm. Rather than like a public government ruled platform where there are like laws that you can break. If Elon Musk is like, nah, this is a private platform and people can do whatever they want, then that's what we'll see. And I think that will be better than the alternative.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Question. Well, let's get a little more philosophical here, Connor. Would you say that any speech, like there is nothing that is outside of the realm of free speech? Would you agree with that statement?
I have no idea.
You can literally say anything you want. Let's say, you know, the argument a lot of people will make is pornography is free speech, right? Because it's, you know, you can say whatever you want. You can put whatever you want on your own website. So you can put pornography on your website.
Well, but there are different crimes you're breaking with pornography than free speech. So I would say,
yeah,
that's very different.
That's typically what I go to, too. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, someone committed adultery.
I don't
think
it's necessary. Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
I don't think it's
me too, because it's like it would be free speech if it wasn't a crime.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's actually something worse than just a breach of free speech. Like yeah.
So Chad is bringing up a point. What about shouting fire in a movie theater? Should that be illegal?
I think you could file it under something else that's what's the word? Like you're disturbing the peace, right? You've become a person who is disrupting society. And I think there are Old Testament principles that can be applied there. I don't think it's, we need to regulate free speech though. I think that's just a different crime. People should be allowed to say whatever they want. If what they're saying causes like harm to people, then yeah, they can be dealt with. And I think of specifically, like if there's a young child who's clearly shown to be a menace to society and their parents can't control them, then we execute that child. And that's a biblical principle in the Old Testament that we shouldn't shy away from, because that's how very evil and wicked people who now are older and are able to do more things are just going to be a menace to society, in a greater fashion. And so if there's a child that is very rebellious and is proven to be a menace to society and is just committing crimes and shows no remorse for it, God's law says execute them. And I think that's a good and just law.
Yeah. So, you know, Chad is bringing up, you know, saying someone raped you when they didn't, but I think the issue there isn't right. That's
attempted murder.
That's exactly. Yeah. Right.
Should be attempted murder.
You're bearing false witness in a court of law at that point. Right.
Yeah. Cause if you get proven guilty of accusing them of something they didn't do, then you deserve death penalty. Then.
So you can say it. So that's, I think this is an important distinction. You can say that, but at that point you're making a legal accusation that needs to go to court. And once it's proven that you are wrong, then you get to be killed.
Let's put it this way. Rape should receive the death penalty 100%. That is for sure what the punishment should be for rape, biblically speaking.
Yep.
So if in that perfect world, right, where death penalty is the punishment for rape, if somebody accuses somebody of rape, somebody needs to die. The moment somebody says this person raped me, either they need to die or that other person needs to die. Because if you're accusing somebody of rape, that's attempted murder. If you're lying, if that's false, then that's attempted murder.
Then what you did is you tried to get that person killed. So
right
by saying
that. That's a big deal.
Yep. Yeah. So I think a lot of these issues can be like. Yes, I think unlimited free speech is the thing. You can say whatever you want. That doesn't mean that saying certain things won't have consequences because of a different thing unrelated to the speech itself, right? Unrelated to the fact that you just said a thing. It has to do with, like, yeah, I think in this case, then let's say it actually comes out that like there are secret emails being sent, by Trump to leaders of various alt-right groups, right? And then he tweets the thing about getting the rally, and he's been secretly planning an actual insurrection the entire time, a violent insurrection in which he wants to basically overthrow the government and make sure that he can stay dictator for life. Let's say that was actually the case and it was proven in a court of law, right? Then yes, his free speech has consequences. And that means he is liable for the things he said. Now, did Trump actually kill anyone? No, of course not. He just talked. He just tweeted. He just sent some emails, you know? But because of his actual actions being proven in a court of law by two or three witnesses that those words caused the deaths of people, then he can be tried for that, right? But that is not the same thing as Trump tweets something that other people misunderstand as being, oh, Trump's telling us we should try to break into the White House and cause mayhem, which is basically the extent of what actually happened, right? At worst, it was just like people being stupid and things getting out of hand. Then Trump, why is Trump, he can't be prosecuted by two to three witnesses in court of law that he was the cause of death for these people. So you can't prosecute him for that. Now, could Twitter, if it was a private platform, get, you know, kick off Trump for tweeting that? Sure. Yeah, they can decide to do that. Right now, Twitter, or, you know, in that situation, Twitter didn't actually have the legal right to do so because of the deal they made with the government about who they are as a legal entity. But yeah, that's another story.
Yeah, so, I feel like the big difference with the way that the left usually looks at free speech nowadays and the way that Christians should look at it is, like, the left thinks, oh, you can't say certain things at all. Right. Instead of what we should be thinking is you should be held accountable for every word you say, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be consequences for whatever you say, whether it's, you know, nothing significant happens or, you know, you did something good or something bad. Like, yeah, there's going to be consequences, not you can't say that thing because that thing is deemed bad by the entirety of society. Like,
yep. Agreed. Well, there you go. We solved all the world's problems.
I literally just got him to stop crying.
Very nice. Well, he was upset before because he thought there was problems in the world, and now that we've solved all the world's problems, he's fine.
Cool. There you go. Well, this has been the Christian. Yeah, no, I think it's a weird, crazy situation. We live in a very weird world right now. I mean, we always had, but this will be interesting for sure. I'm interested to see how it'll turn out. So, yeah. Here we go. Let's end with a post from Marcus Pittman that I just stumbled across here. Imagine if Christians were dreamers, builders, and visionaries like Elon Musk over the past 50 years, instead of being preppers waiting to escape the evil of the world. Capitalism is a great gift to us, given to us by God to stop evil. We need to be reminded of this. There you go. Couldn't have said it any better myself, Mr. Pittman. Cool stuff.
And I will say, one of the things that Elon Musk is very right about is he's very aware that the world is not overpopulated.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I've seen multiple clips of him being we need to start having kids. Like, we're going to die off if we don't.
There you go. All right, well, this has been the Christian Artist. Hopefully we'll actually get on a schedule and keep pumping out episodes here, but no promises. So I would normally give the spiel here, but the spiel has changed because I don't actually, like, the Christian Artist pages are defunct at this point, right? We've rolled them together into, you know, this is all I'll say. Go to Twitter. Go follow the Hellbreaker Studios Twitter account, where you'll find all the latest updates about anything that we're doing here on Twitch or anywhere else. And so you can find that at @studio_hbreaker to find out all of your all the stuff we're doing and keep up to date on that. Tomorrow we will be premiering the first episode of Lords of Hatred, our new TTRPG show. We're doing a Star Wars game. So if you like Star Wars, if you like TTRPGs, if you like both, come check it out tomorrow around 5:30-ish Pacific time. And yeah, it'll be a good time. And there you go. I think that's it. I think we're out. Thanks for watching, everybody. Adios.